gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in to steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there may your heart be also." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you know about virtue signaling? It's been talked about for years now, but it's been much in the ether lately. Virtue signaling is just what the prophet Isaiah and Jesus are talking about today. Virtue signaling is a display, whether that display is the logo on a shirt, a reusable recycled cloth shopping bag, or a hybrid car. Virtue signaling means that we are making a display of our virtues, telling the world who we are and what we believe with signs or clothes or cars. I recently learned that some huge percentage of hybrid and electric car drivers wouldn't drive such cars if they weren't marked as such. Yeah, we know the Tesla logo. We've seen all the Priuses in the TNC parking lot. Virtue signaling is said to be a bad thing. But how can that be when it's obviously a good thing to drive a car that doesn't guzzle gas, to recycle and use recycled products, to protest with signs and banners and t-shirts the inhumane treatment of immigrants, refugees, and differently abled people? Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. There it is. It's that bit about being seen that both Jesus and the prophet Isaiah object to. When the people of God commence whining, "Why do we fast, but you don't even see? Why humble ourselves? You don't notice." The prophet says pretty much the same thing Jesus said. Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Apparently not. Virtue signaling wasn't a good idea 2,700 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, or today. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, Jesus said, but store up your treasures in heaven. Those words offer us a way out of the conflicts we experience around all the stuff of our lives, whether the stuff is material or ethereal. I don't think Jesus meant we should spend our time simply contemplating all things spiritual and heavenly while leaving earthly things alone. Jesus was God incarnate, a God whose chosen dwelling place is not just in Jesus, but in you and in me too. And if we look to Jesus for the pattern of our lives, we will find ourselves very much involved in the earthly issues of working for justice and peace and bringing God's life-giving love into the world. To store up our treasure in heaven is not to be heady and passive, quite the contrary. Here again, the prophet Isaiah. To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke, to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, to clothe the naked when you see them. This is what it is to store up your treasure in heaven. This is the fast God has chosen for us. To fast from the endless distraction of our own self-worth and to focus on doing God's good work in the world because we are Christ in the world. Because we are heaven come down to earth. Jesus wants us to set our hearts on heavenly things because that really is the only way we will ever be satisfied. While at first glance not practicing our piety in public on the one day we mark it on our foreheads seems an incongruous thing to say, it really is just right. Everything we have and even everything we are will someday all be dust, no matter how much or how little of it there is. Ashes are just ashes. Dust is just dust. And when we are reduced to ashes and dust, no one will care how big the pile is. And that, beloved, is the gift of Ash Wednesday. On Ash Wednesday, we're offered the beautiful reminder that the stuff of this life is only stuff, and that is a great relief. Tonight, as ashy crosses are etched onto our foreheads, we remember that we are but dust. We remember that we are mortal. We remember that God is God, and we are not. Today we're offered a new beginning in the recognition that we mortals are all utterly beloved of God, every single one. Remembering that we are dust helps us to know that while we have all been uniquely created and gifted, in God's eyes, we are all just beautiful, messy human beings who are all beloved and very, very mortal. And today, that is the only thing we need to be thinking about. When Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven," I think what he was trying to tell us is that we probably actually get exactly what we say we want. If what we want is the trumpet blast when we throw our money in the coffers in the temple, if what we want is the big house or the great gig, that's probably what we will get, because that is what we've set our hearts on. But if what we want is to recognize that God is God and we are not, if what we want is the beautiful life God promises for all of God's beloved, then we will have to give up the notion that we are somehow in charge of things. While it isn't easy to recognize our mortality, there is a great gift in that ultimate surrender. Because the more we surrender, the freer we are to live into the wholeness of what God has created us to be. In a few minutes, I will invite you, on behalf of the church, into the observance of a Holy Lent, which will likely mean something different for each one of you. But the key for all of us is observance. The church year gives us everything we need if we will let it, and Lent offers us the gift of 40 long, luxurious days to go inside, to come closer to God, to reflect on our lives and the choices we make. None of it is to criticize ourselves. It is all for the purpose of living a richer, fuller life in God. In Lent, we're encouraged to look inward rather than outward, encouraged not to be afraid of what we might find when we look inside ourselves. Jesus gives us everything we need to set our busyness and our fears and our anxieties aside so that God can come closer and closer and closer. Fasting and praying and giving and working for justice and peace and love in the world, this is the stuff that will fill our souls. These are the ways we store up our treasures in heaven. Some people take something on for Lent. Some people give something up. The ancient practice of fasting is not deprivation for deprivation's sake, nor is it done in order to suffer or in order to test ourselves to see if we might beat the challenge. To fast is to remind ourselves that everything we have is a gift from God, and that if we are honest and true, we recognize that we are utterly dependent on God for our very life breath. People fast from all sorts of things throughout Lent. They do that to remove the things that distract them from God. What is it for you? TV? Internet? Alcohol? Sudoku? Crossword puzzles? If you want to know the true gift of fasting, try fasting from negativity or anger or suffering or self-criticism. 1 year, I gave up self-loathing for Lent. We must remember that fasting is a gift for us. Some people take on a particular practice in Lent, praying at mostly the same time and mostly the same place and mostly the same way each day is a very good way to hear the still small voice of God. There are so many prayer practices: walking a labyrinth, journaling, saying the daily office, drawing, centering silence, praying the Stations of the Cross. any of which might bring you closer to God and closer to the ones for whom you pray. That too is one of the many gifts Lent offers us. Almsgiving is an ancient Lenten practice. We don't use the word alms very much anymore, but it refers to the money people give to the church for the church to rightly, justly, and mercifully get that money into the places where it can do the most good. When we give from the depths of our beings, it's because we've recognized that all we have is gift from God, and that God has given us these good gifts for the life of the whole world, not just for us. It fills us with the joy of taking our essential place in the body of Christ when we give this way. Such sacrificial giving and the understanding of the goodness created by our giving is yet another one of the gifts Lent offers. The Lenten practice of actively working in the world for justice and peace and the dignity of every human being is profoundly life-giving. Whether it's feeding hungry people, mentoring children, working for immigrant and refugee rights, canvassing for your favorite political candidate, caring for creation, or any of the thousands and thousands of things that will literally change the world, working for justice is something that connects us deeply with God and with our sisters and brothers across the world. That too is a gift Lent offers us. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. These are the words that invite us into a holy Lent. In the ashes and dust that remind us of our mortality, we find the beginning of our Lenten journey, our Lenten work. To remember that we are dust is to understand that we can actually stop the self-absorption of worrying about how we look or what we have or how together we are or are not. If we can just let ourselves be dust and let God be God, we will have all we need to welcome in a holy Lent. We have 40 long, luxurious days to practice. Let the journey begin. Amen.